So I have to admit that I struggled a little bit with the title for this sermon. And so I'm still not happy with what the title is, but hopefully as we get through the sermon that you'll start to understand where I was trying to go with this. But I came up with, best I came up with, is what is important in the life of Jesus? And the reason that I thought of this was that we've just gone through a time where the world gets all excited and spends a lot of time talking about the birth of Christ. And then roughly 112 days from today, they'll get all excited about celebrating his resurrection. In between, they don't really pay much attention. And I got thinking about, you know, when I was young, lots of sermons about, well, we shouldn't worship, we shouldn't participate in the Christmas stuff, or we shouldn't participate in the Easter stuff. But yet I listen and think about what they're saying. What they're saying is true. The problem is they put the wrong amount of emphasis on some things. And that's because they don't understand what the life of Christ was really all about. What really was important about his life. You know, it's been a long time ago, but I did a sermon on, I called it The Dash. And I talked about the fact that we have a date that we're born, a date we die, and a dash in between on our headstones. I found this one of George Washington. Anybody know much about how George Washington was born? I didn't. Anybody know much about how he died? I don't. But I know quite a bit about the little dash in the middle. He did a lot of stuff during his life. That's what was important in his life, was what he did in the dash. How he was born, how he died, really didn't matter. Really didn't have any impact upon us or the world. Okay? Well, I'm going to submit to you that the life of Jesus is very, very different. Okay? That there are lots of things that happen. What's important for us is to understand why was it important to us and what should we do with that. So I'm going to start off with the birth of Jesus. Now, I've got a lot of scriptures on here, and I'm not going to read all of these. So you are welcome to go. I don't think there are anything you don't know. I just wanted to put a scripture with them that points out I didn't make it up. Okay? But we all know he was born in a manger. And for the last month, we've seen all sorts of nativity scenes that talk about that, right? We're told that the shepherds were told of his birth. Okay? We're told that wise men were guided to Jesus by a star. Now the world's turned it into three wise men. I can't find anywhere where it says three, but it's more than one, because it said men. So, more than one. And we also know that Herod had all male children 2 years old and younger killed, because he was afraid that he was truly going to be the next king of the Jews. That's what we know about the birth of Jesus. So why does the world celebrate it? Well, it was important because it brought the Lord to the earth. God came to the earth as a man. That's what his birth was important about. That's why it was important. But you know, ultimately for us, it's a perfect example of what serving others is all about. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, his birth didn't change our situation. Just because Jesus was born, our sins weren't removed. We weren't cleansed of our sins, we were not reconciled to God. Didn't do that for us. But it did provide an example. When it talks about the fact that did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, what it means was he didn't hang on to the fact that he was deity. He let it go. He lowered himself. He is the perfect example of what it means to be a servant. Have you ever thought about what Jesus gave up for us? Why would you leave a place that is described in Revelation with all the glory, all the beauty, all the perfectness? No unhappy, no sorrow, no pain, no suffering, no death. Why would you want to leave a place like that where you're sitting at the right hand of God to come to this earth, knowing that people are not going to accept you, knowing that you're going to be ridiculed, knowing that you're going to be persecuted, knowing that you're going to have to deal with people who don't believe? Why would you do that? Because you loved the unlovable. Because you wanted to do what was best for them. So when we look at the birth of Jesus, the thing that we should be taking away from it was, here is the beginning of him serving us, doing for us, sacrificing for us. That's what we need to be remembering. It's not just the story of the manger and all that, but all of that adds to it. Here is the Son of God. He didn't get put in a castle. He didn't get put in some ornamental crib. He gets stuck in a manger. But you know, the fact that the shepherds and the wise men came to rejoice reminds us it's okay for us to talk about the birth of Christ, because it was important. It just wasn't the most important thing that he did. It isn't the thing that he was sent here to do. It was the start of those things. That's what we have to remember. That's why it should matter to us. So now let's talk about the life of Jesus. Now, I mentioned before with the dash, for most of us, that little dash represents most of what we've done important. It's how we lived our lives. It's the example we set. It's how we serve God. Okay. Well, the things that went on in Jesus' life were the things, again, that were examples of what we needed to do, of what we need to do. He went about the business of God. The passage I have up there is when he got left behind and they found him and they're chastising him, saying, "Why didn't you come? You know, what were you doing? What were you thinking?" He said, "You should have known I'd be about the work of my Father." He sought to do the will of God. You know, this was an important part of his life, not because it did something for it, but this is the place where he made himself worthy of being the perfect sacrifice. If he had not done the will of God, he wouldn't have been the perfect sacrifice, because he wouldn't have been the lamb without blemish. As we talked about this morning with the Passover, that lamb had to be a lamb without blemish. If you picked a lamb that had some sort of a blemish with it, that wouldn't have worked. Wouldn't have worked. When the angel of death came by, the firstborn would have still died. If he hadn't done the will of God, then it all would have been for naught. He lived his life as a man, not as deity. How many times have you heard people say things about life, about life is hard? That's a hard thing to do. That's really rough. That's our excuse for why we fail, because it's hard. Jesus gave us an example because he lived the life that you and I live, except he managed to do it perfectly. We don't. It was just as hard for him as it is for us. That's the point of this. We need to remember that. It's not like he just danced through life and it was wonderful and easy. It wasn't all rainbows, unicorns, as they say. He went through a lot of tough things because he was a man. He did that for our behalf. He had to prove that a man could live in accordance to the will of God. Because if the Son of God couldn't have done it, then how could God ever hold anybody else accountable for doing it? So, it was important that he lived his life as a man and that he committed no sin. All the things he went through, all the opportunities that would have been there for him to have sinned, he didn't do it. No matter what they said to him, no matter what they did to him, no matter how he was treated, no matter how people talked about him, he never committed sin. That's what we need to know. It is possible. We can't use the excuse that it's hard. It may be hard, but it's doable. He proved it. That's what our takeaway is for the life of Jesus. He showed us how we should live. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. Mm-hmm. And by this we know that we have come to him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. It's an example. That's how we're supposed to live our lives, folks. We need to spend a lot more time looking at the life of Jesus and saying, am I behaving in the same way he did? The difficulties that he faced, do I react in the same way? Do I behave myself in the same way? Because that's what his life was about. Giving us an example of how we should live. The death of Jesus. He didn't deserve to die. Luke chapter 23 talks about the fact that Herod just came out and said, no, he doesn't deserve to die. He didn't do anything. He's not guilty of anything worthy of death. Even by the laws of the world, he wasn't guilty of death. Here's one that I don't know that we actually consider enough. You know, he always had the ability to stop it. He always had an ability to put an end to it. He didn't. That was part of living his life according to the will of God. That's what God's will for him was, but at any point in time, he called a legion of angels, and it all would have come to naught. If you remember this story in the Old Testament, Israel surrounded down in the valley thinking that all's bad, and then all of a sudden, God makes visible to them all of the angels that have surrounded the enemy. Think he couldn't have done the same thing for Jesus? Jesus couldn't have called upon those same angels to come to rescue him? But he didn't, because that wasn't the will of the Lord. I think it's important for us to remember that his death was part of God's plan. He knew that. He had a job to do. And he did it. Well, we have a job to do. God has given us a job. Do we do it? Do we do it with the same determination that Jesus put forth in doing the will of the Lord? Something for us to consider. Why does his death matter so much for us? Well, because he died for us. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. It is important that we remember that without his death, we're lost. We had no ability, no opportunity, no chance of ever saving ourselves. We needed him to die for us. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one might dare even to die. But God shows us his love, showed his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't have to do it. He did it because God loves us. God wants us to succeed. God wants us to be saved. You know, I think too often we forget that God has done his part to try to save us. The world oftentimes looks at God as the one that's out there trying to trip us up, trying to put things in the way, things that will make it so that we can't succeed, to make it difficult for us. That's not God, that's Satan. God has done and had a plan all along to save man. He's done his part. Jesus did his part. Have we done our part? Have we been as diligent about doing the will of the Lord as Jesus was for us? 1 Peter 2 and verse 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live in righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Jesus died to take away our sins. He took our sins with him when he died. He was the perfect Passover lamb. That's why he had to die. This is the part of the life of Jesus, if you want to call it that, that is so very important. Because if this doesn't occur, we're lost. His birth wasn't going to save us. His life, the way he lived his life, wasn't going to save us. And we're going to talk about here in a second his resurrection. His resurrection wouldn't save us. His resurrection wouldn't have happened. Everything is focused on this. This is what he was sent to do. This is what changed the lives of everybody in this building. His death. This is what really matters. This is what we need to remember. So the resurrection. Resurrection. After his death, his body was placed in a tomb with a great stone rolled against the entrance. He was buried just pretty much like anybody else. But 3 days later, on the first day of the week, he arose from the dead. Now, why is the fact that he arose from the dead important? Have you ever really stopped to think about that? What did that prove? The only reason he was able to arise from the dead is because he overcame death. Not death on this planet. Spiritual death. He lived a perfect life. He proved that it could be done. Satan, therefore, had no control over Jesus. His resurrection is a proof point. It shows us that he succeeded in what he was sent to do. That's why his resurrection is so important. If he had died and never been resurrected, then that meant Satan won. And if Satan had won, we lost. This was proof to us that he did what he was sent to do. That's why it matters. But his resurrection isn't what saved us. His resurrection only matters because it proved that his death had saved us. And then he ascended into heaven. Because again, he overcame death. He overcame Satan. So Jesus overcame death. People say that, but they don't often understand what death he's talking about. Again, it wasn't physical death. It was spiritual death. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 14 through 19. And if Christ had not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We're even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. Without the resurrection, our sins have not been forgiven, we're lost. It's a proof point. It proves to us that all that God sent Jesus to do, he succeeded in doing. So, back to my beginning. The world spent so much time celebrating his birth. His birth was a good thing. It was necessary for the progression that gets us to what really mattered. But if it ended at his birth, we're lost. We lose. His life, nobody really wants to talk about a whole lot. Then they want to go to the end and talk about his resurrection. But they skip everything in the middle. And the most important part was in the middle. The most important part was his death. That is why it is the one part that we are told to celebrate. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." The Lord's death is the thing that matters to you and I. The Lord's death is the thing that saves us from an eternity in hell. Because without his death, we're lost. His birth mattered. He had to come to earth. He had to become a man. And he gave us some great examples of how you should do that. His life mattered. Because he had to be a perfect sacrifice. He had to live perfectly. So he sets us a perfect example. His resurrection mattered. Because it's a proof point that his death did occur. And that it did occur as the perfect sacrifice. But it all points back to his death. The sacrifice that was made for you and for me. So, why we don't celebrate Christmas in here is because we're not told to. But it doesn't mean we shouldn't be paying attention to it. It doesn't mean that some of the things that are said, the songs that are sung in the world, if you listen to the words of some of them, there's things there for us to learn and to listen to and to think about. Because he did lower himself and become a servant. He did have a lowly birth. That was an example for us. 112 days from today, there will be people talking about his resurrection. It did matter because it's a proof point. It gives us a reason to believe that we have hope of eternal life. If he'd never been resurrected, we wouldn't have that. But if he hadn't ever died as the perfect sacrifice, he would have never been resurrected. All points back to that. So every Sunday when we assemble up here, when we all partake of the Lord's Supper, we need to remember why it is so important. That is the important point in the life of Christ. That's the one we're told to remember and to do. So, like I said, probably wasn't the world's greatest title, but hopefully it makes you think a little bit. The life of Christ, there's a lot of events, and all of them are important. They all have their purpose, but the one that we celebrate each and every Sunday is the one that matters the most, and that's why we need to do it, and that's why we need to have as much enthusiasm for that as the world has two Sundays a year. We get to do it 52 times a year. So, that's my sermon for this morning. Hopefully it'll cause you to stop and to think a little bit, to consider, have I done my part? As we pointed out, Jesus did his part. He came to earth. He lived a perfect life. He sacrificed himself as the perfect sacrifice, the Passover lamb. And he was resurrected. He did all his part. He fulfilled what God had sent him to do. Have we fulfilled what God has sent us to do? Have we been obedient to the gospel? If not, We need to take care of that. If we've obeyed the gospel, we haven't lived according to the will of God, we need to fix that. And we need to do it immediately. Because we need to remember there's no guarantees of tomorrow. We need to make things right with God now, while we have the opportunity, not put it off, because it can become too late. So if we can help anybody in any way, we'd ask you to come forward now as we stand and as we sing.